Welcome to Spiritual Warfare and How the Enemy is Collecting Souls.
The enemy had taken a seat at my table and I was allowing myself to listen to a killer.
Hi, my name's Teresa.
Hi, my name is Kay. Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table by Lou Giglio is the book that we're reading from. And tonight, we are going to start out with the lie that there's no way out.
Well, Kay, can I share something first that I saw today on Facebook for our city that we live in? I want everyone to listen to this, please. Hi, good morning. I live in the city area and I'm a psychic reader. I would love to start offering readings and reading parties in this area. Is this something that's an interest in this area? Is this something anyone would be interested in? I've been here about 3 years almost and kept my readings online only. I want to expand to help others locally, just not online. Thanks a bunch. I want to help others locally. That's not all. Okay, so you have all these people replying to this, and this one lady, I'd love to set up a reading. And then she starts out, message me for your love and relationship reading. When people read this who are very lonely and down and out and they need hope because they're not getting any attention, this is who, and she wants to bring them into her presence, which is bad because that's when those ugly little demons attach themselves to you.
Right.
I read this. And these people are like so excited, you know, how much? I would love to have one. I know a few more people as well. I'm interested. I'll be interested. And wait, there was one thing here. It said something about spiritual. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Well, I can't find that now. But she said something like, message me for your spiritual and your love readings. People, this is not spiritual readings, not one iota. That is Satan himself in disguise. Yes, please never respond to any of these. Do you have anything to say about that, Miss Kay?
Be careful. Be careful what spirit you invite in.
Yes, and one other thing on a positive note here. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling lonely or sad, pick up the word, turn on TBN. I love TBN. Call, you know, a prayer line. Just please never go to a psychic reading. Okay, sorry, that's all I have to say on that. Miss Kay, can you start out with the lie that there's no way out?
If you feel like you're surrounded and there's no way out, you know the enemy is at your table. This is a classic lie of the enemy. It's the ultimate lie that combines several of the lies we've already addressed in this chapter. The enemy convinces you that there's nowhere to turn, nowhere to run, no way forward, no chance you're ever going to live free again. The consequences of your bad decisions are closing in from one side, the betrayal of a friend from another. Your reputation is toast. You're going to lose your job. You can't go back to your community. You can't trust anyone. You've played your last card. The pressure is too great. Give up, cash out, get out of town, or worse, get out of this life. I've been through enough storms to know the harsh reality of those feelings, so I'm not going to pretend following the advice I'm giving you as a cakewalk. If you feel like you're surrounded and there's no way out, I've got game-changing news for you. You are surrounded. But it's better than you think. Elijah, revered as one of the most powerful prophets in Israel, was an anointed miracle worker who had called down fire on the prophets of false gods on Mount Carmel. As God instructed Elijah, passed on the anointing to young Elisha, a prophet and mighty man of faith. And he too walked in the power of God. In a season of conflict and war, the king of Aram was bearing down on Israel. In a season of conflict and war, the king of Aram was bearing down on Israel, trying to take whatever shots he could to wreak destruction on the cities and the people of God. But God would tip Elijah off to the enemy's king's plans. Time and again, Elijah warned the king of Israel so that he was on his guard in such places. 2 Kings 6:10. The king of Aram was ticked. He wanted Elijah dead at all cost. Elijah and his servants traveled to a town called Dothan. When the king of Aram discovered that Elijah was the one feeding his battle plans to the king of Israel, he sent a massive force of men with chariots and horses to finish Elijah off. They arrived under the cover of darkness and surrounded the city while Elijah was sleeping. The servant didn't sleep too well that night. Tossing and turning, every sound outside the camp unsettled him. Was someone there? Was danger looking? Was Elijah safe? When morning broke, the servant was already awake, and he went out to survey the scene and couldn't believe what he saw. The town was completely surrounded. The Aramites had found Elijah's location and positioned themselves in a choking ring of assault during the night. There was no way out. The servant rushed in to awake Elijah. "Oh no, my lord. What shall we do?" Elijah had a choice. Freak out, fold, or look up. Elijah chose to look up and lean into an "even though I will" faith. He declared, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then he prayed. Not for himself, not for deliverance from the pursuing army. Elijah prayed for his servant. Weird? No. Why would he do that? Elijah prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." You might say the servant could see just fine. He could see well enough to recognize horse-drawn fighting chariots from 100 yards away without corrective lenses. He could size up the hundreds of men and surmise that there was only himself and Elijah to stand against them. He could see well enough to know they were boxed in, cornered. What he did not see that prompted Elijah to pray this prayer, he did not see that the army surrounding the city was itself surrounded by the angel army of the living God. Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire around Elijah. They were surrounded, all right, surrounded by God forces blazing with his glory and might. The same is true for you and me. It may be true that circumstances are closing in. Enemies have taken their positions in the night. Your whole world is surrounded by threats, accusations, missiles, and hate. But here's the thing. That's only half of the story. The half you're getting from the adversary is sitting at your table. He wants to believe you are doomed, that there is no way out. But the Spirit of God is interceding for you. Lord, open her spiritual eyes. Father, let him see with eyes of faith. God has everyone and everything that's surrounding you surrounded. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table.
That, if you think about that, people do see huge angels around some people, and that has stopped them. I mean, in real life, that has stopped them from either robbing somebody or beating them up. And it is amazing, when you are a child of God, the hedge that God will put around you and stop the enemy.
So where do you want to be? When I had finally made the decision to ask Shelley to marry me, I was living in Fort Worth but headed home to Atlanta for Christmas break. Shelley was flying to Atlanta from Houston to spend a few days with my family, and I needed a ring. Being in grad school and coming from a working middle-class family, I had to scrape and claw to get a suitable diamond. I got a break when a friend hooked me up with a dealer in the wholesale diamond mart in Dallas.
Good for him.
I spent close to every penny I had on a beautiful stone, but it was a loose diamond, and I didn't have time to get it set in a ring before I headed home.
Oh, no.
When you buy a diamond ring from a jewelry store, it comes in a velvet flip-top box, but if you buy a loose stone from an importer, you walk away with a precious gem wrapped in a small folded piece of wax type paper. A few days later, when I knelt down with the now set diamond and extended it towards Shelley, asking her to spend the rest of her life with me, I was holding the most valuable earthly possession I owned. Why? Shelley was worth it to me. That's the beauty of the table God prepares for you. That's the wonder of the one who's waiting for you right now. Jesus didn't send a message or a messenger to tell you how valuable you are. He came himself. He paid the price. He is the price. He's waited all eternity, literally, for you to join him. And he's sitting across from you telling you that you...
He thinks you're worth it.
He thinks you're worth
it. He does. He thinks that you are worth it. When the enemy tells you you're not smart enough, you're not strong enough, you don't have the right background. Oh boy, I've been told that a lot in my life. You're not pretty enough. You don't matter enough. Look up. Lock your eyes with the King. Hear him say, daughter, son, there's nowhere I'd rather be than at this table with you. His words are the words of life, John 6:68. His voice thunders from heaven, Psalm 68:33. His voice drowns out every enemy lie. And we have to remember, our mouth is a vessel. And just by saying words to Satan, we can stop every attack, every thought, everything that he throws at you. Right then and there, you can say it. Why is it sometimes we can't do that? I mean, why? We know this, and it's like we know it, and we just sit there and we keep stewing over some things.
Right.
And we get so angry when he won. Right then and there, he won because you are doing everything he wants you to do. And I have found when you do stand up, take a stance, say the word, and you have to say it out loud. You do, Satan, get thee behind me. It's done. It's a done deal. You don't even have to argue. He has to obey God's commands and God's children, which a lot of people don't know that. By his grace, you can start taking authority over the voices at your table and kick the devil out of your dinner party. He has to flee. In Jesus' name. Okay, Miss Kay, what's your thoughts on that?
I just think about today.
Oh, you got a good story from today, do ya?
That when I am consumed with things that I shouldn't be consumed with.
What were you consumed with?
You
mean thoughts while you were working?
Well, thoughts while I was working, and just I had lots of appointments today. And
away from the office?
At the office.
Yeah, okay.
At the office, right.
Okay.
Just coming out of the COVID-19 and everything being so different. I usually can handle things pretty well. But today was one of those days that, guess what? I had to remind myself several times that I was letting Satan have a seat at my table. I would get those thoughts, and it was like I couldn't shut them off.
Because you were getting irritated at the customers, you mean?
Just irritated and getting things worked out. Not necessarily the customer, but just trying to work things out to get things, you know, together. And everything's just so different now when you put someone's dream vacation together. You know, it's, yeah. But I know on my lunch hour today, I got this book out, read through a few of the paragraphs to remind myself that I was allowing the enemy to have a seat at my table. And I could choose to go back from lunch and have prayed up, rebuke Satan, walk in faith, trust in God, knowing that I'm worthy. Or I could choose to keep going with the same little stinky, you know,
attitude.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Southwest Airlines, again, these poor stewardesses. A lady punched a flight attendant in the face. COVID. Everybody is crazy traveling. I don't know why. And what the stewardess have to put up with is insane. She got into an altercation in the back of the plane with the flight attendant. And the flight attendant told her she would have to get off the plane. And when she went up, she started another fight with a flight attendant that was standing up by the front door, but she ended up punching her in the head. And it's just terrible. I just tell you, some people that have to put up with customers, late orders, not getting their orders at all. I mean, stores, shipping, everything. You see all these vessels out in the ocean just sitting there with everybody's merchandise on it. And these people are calling and biting customer service, just biting their heads off. It's not their fault, people.
They have no control.
They have no control over the shipping. And we really need to, be nice to people on the phone. We really do. And if anybody is getting ready to travel, I did read somewhere, because of what they're going through, and which I'm going to do this, just buy little $5 Starbucks cards, two or three of them, especially if you're flying in a group. Everybody can buy one. They can afford $5. Give it to them. Don't even say anything. Just hand it to them and tell them to have a nice day. A flight attendant said, "You don't know what that means to us just to have a cup of coffee bought for us."
Wow.
She said, "That just turns our whole day around. We're getting yelled at and cursed at." And I thought, you know what? That's a fantastic idea.
That is a fantastic idea.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
They need it. They truly need it. I mean, because they're just getting... I remember seeing... And it's Southwest seems to get a lot of those too. You will never fly again. They're going to put you on the no-fly zone. So have a nice life as you're sitting at home and you want to go somewhere where you're going to be driving because you're not flying anywhere.
That's right.
So, but yeah, it's like you said. So were you able to change your attitude?
Yeah,
or?
I was.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was. And so I'm grateful for that. But you're just thinking about, God is in control. God has not left the throne. I have to remind myself of that with the COVID-19 that has gone on. And I'm getting to the point where I don't even like to say it anymore. It's like we blame everything on
COVID-19. Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has happened because of it. But
would you know another...
We have to be responsible for our attitudes.
That's true.
COVID-19 or not.
Yeah, that is true. It was on the news yesterday that last month there was thousands of more people who quit their jobs. People don't even want to work anymore. They got lazy. I'm sorry. I don't get it.
Yeah.
And then they're reaching out for help. It's like, wait a second. There were 250,000 jobs in Ohio paying over $50,000 a year. And nobody's applying for them.
It's all a mystery, isn't it? I mean, it really is. What's going on? It's a mystery. What's going on? It is. So I think Satan's running. I think he's running rampant. And just like you finding this.
Oh, yes.
On Facebook today.
Mm-hmm.
These kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Where she literally wants you to come into her presence.
Yeah.
That is such bad news.
Right? And that's what Satan's out there doing.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is collecting and doing whatever he can. Well, Kay, I'm really glad that you're able to change your attitude today.
Thank you.
That's always nice when we can conquer that, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Because sometimes we let it ruin our whole day. We just keep going. And that's the thing. Oh my gosh, we literally have it that quick. I'm not giving you a seat at my table. Leave. That's it. Change your whole. That's what it was. And I don't know what I did with that. You have to be strong enough to... Oh, where did I read this? And that was a funny thing, too, because before I went to bed, I turned on the TV and listened to TBN, and the pastor said it right then and there. You have to be strong enough to fight the thoughts that come into your mind. Somebody made you mad. They hurt your feelings. Are you going to wallow in that?
Right.
No, you can't. You cannot give them a seat at your table. You have to be strong enough to fight those thoughts, or you will lose the rest of your life. Until you overcome and fight those thoughts, you're a loser.
And Satan knows that.
Yes.
Right.
And then when he just throws 50 million, I had such a tough weekend. Okay, so remember when I picked up the silverware and it was all wrong at Sam's Club?
Yeah.
I had to carry all of that back. And it was right there, Kay.
They gave you the wrong silverware?
They did not even look. People don't pay any attention to their jobs. So I went in there. They were right there. And I saw there was one style here and one style here. And they just picked them both up. Didn't even look at the handles of the silverware. I placed an order for the meat market. I go to the meat market. I had 6 pounds of frozen food and the rest was fresh. Instead of them putting them in two different coolers, I ordered Friday morning, picked up Friday night, so it was in there all day. They put everything in the freezer. So when I came home, all my fresh meat was frozen. I was so mad. I was so mad. It was ruined. I couldn't, you know, like the bacon, the ham. I mean, I break it down for one person. There was like two or three other things that happened to me. And I'm like, God, why do I have to fight these things? Because they always happen to me. They always happen to me. And evidently, I haven't conquered something because they keep happening. I just want to laugh and say, oh, okay. But it just, there was like four or five things all weekend. Everything that I did, somebody did not do their job correctly. And I lost my temper once on Saturday. I did. And I feel really, 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 really bad about that. Oh my gosh, I feel really bad about that. I'm just even too embarrassed to share it with you. I was just so angry because I needed my blood drawn for healthy rewards at work. This lady kept saying the wrong thing. And I'm like, ma'am, it's right there on the paper. You just need a lab, you know, a profile, a blood thing, you know. Well, there's no numbers on here. It's just a profile for cholesterol and stuff. It's a universal number. But because it wasn't on there and the billing, she wouldn't do it. And I had to leave. And I waited 2 weeks. And I sat in the waiting room for an hour. They were so busy. So.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy is right. Oh, I got up there and boy. I went, oh, my gosh. Oh, I stood boy. There. And, oh, my God, I was so mad. She even called her manager. And these numbers are not on here. I said, okay, I may be missing something. And he's like, ma'am, if it's for your healthy rewards, we have to know who to bill. Well, Cigna was telling me that that's all in the computer. You don't even need papers or anything. And so it was just a big mess and it didn't turn out. I did something after church too that didn't go work out too good, but I've had like the whole week and just, it was just very challenging, Miss Kay, and I failed on Saturday. And luckily the meat market was closed on Friday because I was crying because everything had just been building up and it just wouldn't stop. And it's like, since we started this series, you don't even know how many times things happen. And sometimes I'm just not strong enough. And I just don't do the right thing. I just don't. And I feel terrible about it. I mean, I even feel bad to where I might even go in because it's not that I didn't stand there and yell at her. But when it was over, she said, I'm sorry. And I said, yeah, I bet you are, or something like that. I know, Kay. I feel terrible. I feel terrible. I feel terrible. And I just made a snide remark. Yeah. And I walked out because I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been waiting for an hour. I need to have this done, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought, what if that person shows up at church? That was another thing I thought too. And she sees me sitting there thinking, ah, some Christian you are. And seriously, that's what was going through my mind. I thought, God, I would be so embarrassed if that lady walked in here and was at church, looking at me like, Kay, it was terrible. I just felt so bad for making that remark. And just, I just felt terrible.
It's a good reminder. It's a good reminder. Praise God that you felt the way that you felt, that you did afterwards, that the conviction is quick upon your heart. God's going to lie. But he still loves you. He still loves me. Yes. But I understand that. I do.
Yeah, but you probably didn't do what I did. I'm like, it is eating me up, Kay. It really is eating me up. And it's just like, Satan throws so much at you. And it has been since we started, everything. And nothing that I order turns out right.
It's because we're doing something for the kingdom of God.
Yes, I know. Right. And everything is, whatever I do in my personal life outside is a disaster. And I have to take 10 extra steps that I shouldn't have to. I was just upset that I failed. I was a failure. So if you're a failure, take Kay's advice. We're forgiven.
And gratefully, we have a Savior that does forgive us. And we'll just try harder the next time.
But I should have, right then, like you did. You're not getting a seat at the table. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I kept fighting. But things just kept, it was just rolling. Escalating. Everything Escalating. That I did, it just, like everything the whole weekend. And I'm like, I can't deal with this anymore, God. This is too much. But evidently I could have, because he doesn't give you more than what you can bear. I just flunked a test big time. So anyway, we are going to go and we will see you guys next week. And I'm really sorry for failing. I really am. Have a great week.
Have a great week. God bless you.